Jim Collins and the Michigan folks have been one of the groups that piloted some of the initial messages, and we've really appreciated the help of all the jurisdictions who have worked with us on piloting. I'm going to talk a little bit about where we are with the NMI effort and where we're going with it. This is probably a slide many of you have seen before, just some introductory information about NMI. It is one of the key components of CDC's surveillance strategy. We are seeking to strengthen the way the data comes from the jurisdictions to CDC. Part of this is focusing on using standards-based messages and incorporating those standards into what we're doing. We're trying to make it easier for you folks by giving you a more consistent way to submit the data. We're also trying to make sure that that data gets to the programs in a way that they can use it so that they get more value out of it. We're trying to take advantages of the changes that are going on in information technology. One important component of that is the use of electronic health records in physicians' offices and hospitals and clinical settings. We are trying to take advantage of improved procedures for surveillance and to take advantage of them, but also kind of to drive some of them. And then we're looking at improving those links between public health and healthcare, so hopefully the full stream of data is made more electronic and more automated. These are the three components of the NMI effort. The first is developing the message mapping guides. And this is collaborative work between the NMI program and the CDC programs to define the data elements, to identify the appropriate vocabularies, and then finally to develop and design the messages through which the data is sent. The second component of it is using the standardization to get better information sharing, to get better interoperability. Overall, it takes us about 10 months to put a message mapping guide together from the time the program is ready with the data elements. There are lots of steps to that, lots of components of it, a lot of testing and validating, including the pilot work that we do with the jurisdictions. The second element of NMI is developing the software that is going to process and manage those messages when they come in. That's the MVPS, or the Message Validation Processing and Provisioning System. This is where we take the message and translate it into the software that hopefully will provide a foundation and some tools that can be used for additional approaches also. We're trying to collaborate with CDC's effort for the surveillance platform. We hope that we will develop some services that can become part of that platform, and some of the services developed as part of the platform can be incorporated into MVPS to process these records. From the time a message is ready for the developers to start working on it, and that's about the same time that jurisdictions start to pilot the messages, we think it's about a four-month time window that we're going to be working on developing and implementing those so that we can get them from pilot message to ready for production. But that's the software development time. Then the third component of NMI is the technical assistance. This uses messaging experts from APHL to work with the jurisdictions to help you with implementation of the messages. The intent behind it is to have information transfer and skill building, building capacity in the health jurisdictions. So hopefully you'll be able to apply this to future message mapping guides and to some of the other work you're doing. The TA takes three forms. It can be on-site, it can be remote, or it can be a hybrid. But we're trying to find solutions that work for the jurisdictions. And I want to talk about some of the things that we've accomplished. These are some of the overarching achievements. These are things that aren't specific to any of those work streams. One of the things that is more NNDSS related than NMI related is that this was the first year that the non-infectious disease, notifiable disease data was published in the annual summary. This is thanks largely to the work of Steve McDonald and Martha Stanbury, both of whom I saw in here, and also Ralph Coates in our office and a number of other people. But it's helping us to think in a broader way about the notifiable diseases. A second element that I wanted to mention was a consultation that was provided to us by three surveillance and informatics experts. Ed Baker, Perry Smith, and Marty LaVenture came and visited with us, looked at what we were doing, and provided us some suggestions and guidance on how to make our work more effective in NMI. And they really focused on how we manage all the moving parts, in how we staff the project to make it effective, in supporting the involvement of the programs and the jurisdictions in the effort, and in communicating what we're working on, the challenges we're encountering, and when we expect to deliver products. A third thing I wanted to mention was some work we did to integrate the project plan for all the components. We now have a work plan that encompasses all three of the elements in the three work streams. Before, each of them really was working fairly independently, and we had some coordination, but we've developed a life cycle that is really focused on the message mapping guide development, and we are now building it out to also look at the software development, the TA, and the other components, so that we can lay things out, get a good estimate of the time frame that each of those steps take, and then look at how resources are being used back and forth across those so we can plan better and more effectively. These are some of the highlights of what we've done with the message mapping guides. The development of the message mapping guides, as I said, is a collaborative effort between us and the programs, and then we use the jurisdictions also to help us in piloting the guides and in doing some of the testing of the software as it comes together. We've moved to a more consistent and streamlined message structure. We used some time last year when we were in transition with the development contractors to really focus on that. We hope it will make the whole process more effective as we move forward. We have tried to make the process more repeatable, so we're getting a consistent product using consistent processes. There are, you can see the status of some of these guides. We've got the generic version 2, the hepatitis, and then the arboviral guide in final status. This version of the arboviral guide is a version 1.3, so it's not built on Gen V2 the way most of our guides are right now. We had started down that line, needed to make a transition for Zika and made some changes in it, but we have made some good progress. I'm going to touch on some of these a little bit later, so I'm going to keep moving, but we've got a bunch of guides at different stages of the process, and we are starting to talk with the infectious disease folks about the next conditions we'll work on. So this is kind of an overview. The green ones, the green guides up there are going into production in the summer, the blue will go into production in the fall, the purple are looking at for further in toward the winter, maybe into the beginning of next year. The kind of maroon ones have been published for draft, and the black ones are in various stages of development, but the measles, rubella, and congenital rubella syndrome we think will go out for in draft status for comment very soon. You can see we've got a whole bunch of guides that still need to be worked on and to be developed. The arboviral guide is there because we haven't gotten to do the version 2 message version of that. And we have been approached by some of the chronic diseases to start to develop guides for those conditions so that they don't have to build a separate disease transmission system. So we're going to have to see how we can fit that into the whole process. We were in a position to do some work for Zika. Usually we're not too able to be responsive to outbreak situations, but we had that guide and process and were able to change strategy a little bit. We did a lot with the vocabulary to support that effort. And we do expect that guide to go into production in July. We also advocated to use the notifiable disease message as the foundation for the pregnancy registry to hopefully minimize the amount of data you had to transmit in a different way or enter into a separate system. Michelle is going to talk a good bit about technical assistance, but we did implement the monthly eShare calls to help give you some technical support. We are putting together a resource center that we think will be helpful and put together the NMI notes based on feedback that you guys have provided to us. MBPS has you've got METs available so you can test your messages. We hope that STD and congenital syphilis will have METs available again so you can test your messages. We're hoping for July. It looks like it'll be a little bit further. And that's because we had hoped that MBPS would be ready to go live in July. We found some issues lately that we need to work on and refine. They came out in testing, so that's going to be pushed off a little bit. We don't have a concrete date for when yet. We do work heavily with the programs and the jurisdictions in testing the system as it comes up. We are working on an alternatives of analysis to look at how we re-engineer MVPS going forward. We are trying to move to a surveillance or I'm sorry, to a service-oriented architecture and enhance our strategies there. We do expect 2016 to be our year of, Jim is signaling me to cut off. 2016 is going to be our year of implementation. I had another slide in here that I won't talk through. It was deliberately somewhat vague, but green is where we're trying to get. Blue is good progress there. You can see we've got a lot lined up that we really are working toward, and we think we're making good progress and moving forward on it. And that's kind of